Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on a getaway Friday night, quarter after the hour, joined in studio by Angie Evers. Angie, how you doing here? A big news Friday.
Big news Friday.
Big news Friday. You know, the national news has been all over the place today. We're going to do a little bit of the national news and then come back more to the local news. But, we don't want to be out of touch here. So I just inhaled a Coney dog. It was very, very good, but I had to eat it in like 5 minutes. So if I, you know, burp every few seconds, you'll know what happened. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin sentenced to 22.5 years in prison for the murder of George Floyd, and the maximum sentence for this was 15 years. For what he was convicted of, and the judge went longer. And if you'd have to read the whole statement by the judge, but he said this is not about public opinion, this is not about George Floyd, it's about two things, basically, he said, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have the quotes in front of me, but basically it's because you were a police officer, you abused your power, and number two, he was screaming on the video, I'm dying, get off me, and you used excessive force. So, there you go. That puts a exclamation point on that case.
Right. Maybe bad cops will think twice before they do things like that.
Well, I was thinking about this because I remember when the verdict was coming down, 6 weeks ago, and everybody was very nervous about the verdict. And I'll tell you what dawned on me today that didn't dawn on me when the sentencing happened. Back when the verdict came down, everybody kept saying, you know, there was a case made for Chauvin to be not guilty, that George Floyd had a checkered past and he shouldn't be a hero. And I kept hearing all these things, and he had, you know, what were some of the things you heard?
I didn't really pay attention.
In any event, there was a lot of stuff said like that by the prosecution. Well, no, but the defense team, I guess, because they would have been defending Chauvin. But anyway,
that he was a hero?
Well, I don't know that they said that Chauvin was a hero.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't hear that.
No, I think they were saying that George Floyd was a bad guy, was the implication. And that's why this should be okay. His defense team had to come up with something.
Right.
But in any event, the point I'm making today is not that. But that's what I was hearing at the time. Because a lot of people thought he was going to get off.
I don't think he was going to get off, like, without anything. I mean, I guess I never imagined it would be 22 and a half years, but...
No, I mean, when the first verdict came down, I think people thought that it might be not guilty. I remember there were people stationed all over the country in case there were riots, because police officers don't get convicted very often.
Right. I mean, I think they had plenty of evidence in this case, but...
Well, here's what I could not understand, is why does it matter if what the person's past is? I'm not sure what the correlation is there to what happened that day.
Because he was using counterfeit money?
Right, but is that the protocol for somebody who's using counterfeit money, death?
No. I don't think it should be in any case, I guess, unless somebody shooting at an officer or something like that.
I'm just confused, and maybe if somebody wants to set me straight on this, 740-383-9944, to this day, I don't understand. You know, I don't know anything about George Floyd, good or bad. I didn't go to any protests. I didn't do any of this. But I don't understand what his background has to do with how he was treated. I mean, is it to say that if you have no record and are a law-abiding citizen, you shouldn't be treated that way, but if you have a record, you should be treated that way for the same crime? I don't get it.
Right. Did you hear anything about a 17-year-old girl being shot in Columbus last week?
I think it was last night.
Was it last night?
Yeah. But that was...
I didn't hear anything about the case.
They don't have a suspect or anything at this particular point. I don't think in that particular case.
No, I thought
case.
A cop shot the 17-year-old. Is that not true?
It's a cop. I don't think.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
Good evening, Scott and Angie. How are you? Doing good. Hey, I thought I would just kind of jump in here since you were talking about it. I listened to an analysis earlier today by a defense attorney. And what the defense attorney said, not Derek Chauvin's, but a defense attorney, he said that what the jury had to decide was the cause of death because of Derek Chauvin, or were his actions a contributing factor? And basically, because of the fentanyl usage and things like that, and that no, it was not the police officer did not necessarily cause the death, but it was a contributing factor. That way they were basically saying he could have died because of the fentanyl, or he could have died because of the police officer, but regardless, it was at least a contributing factor.
Well, it's interesting. What do you make of the verdict of the judge going above the maximum sentence by 7.5 years?
Well, see, that's the part that I'm confused on, because this defense attorney that I was listening to, he said that under the conviction that he could possibly have gotten a maximum of 40 years, and that this was half, just slightly over half of the maximum. So I'm not aware of the fact that he got more than that.
Well, the story that I read, and I did find it here, it says the sentence exceeds the Minnesota sentencing guidance range of 10 years and 8 months to 15 years for the crime.
Okay. Was Derek Chauvin convicted on more than one count? Was it multiple counts, or was it just one count?
It was, but I guess for all of them, that would have been, the guidelines would have been between 10 and 15 years. But the reason in the 22-page memorandum that this judge, Peter Cahill, said that he did this, he said, Cahill wrote that two aggravating factors warranted a harsher sentence, that Chauvin abused his position of trust and authority, that was a quote, and treated Floyd with particular cruelty. And he said, Chauvin, the judge wrote, threatened or treated Floyd with, and this was the quote, without respect and denied him the dignity owed to all human beings.
Yeah, and I did hear that part of it. The part that I heard, and there again, I'm not going from the judge's writings, I'm just going from what this defense attorney said. He said the overall maximum that he could have got was 40 years under the law, but following the sentencing guidelines for everything, that this was about what should have been expected was the 22 years.
Well, it could be. I'm not really sure. I just think it's very interesting that a lot of this has come down to George Floyd's past. I guess I'm confused about that, because even in the sentencing today, I'm still hearing about that, because I think the people who feel that this was too harsh a sentence are saying that he wasn't at fault and George Floyd was a bad guy, and I continue to hear this, and I don't know George Floyd, but I have seen the video, and I don't know any more than the judge knows. I wouldn't think. The judge wasn't there either. So I'm just not sure what the character of the person has to do with it. I think the actions matter. I think if he had pulled a gun out, well, I think, yeah, then I think actions matter. But to my knowledge, that didn't happen.
Well, and see, here's the other thing too, Scott, is I don't know in the actual jury trial, and you know, there was so much coverage of this prior to the trial that, you know, it had to be very hard to find jurors that didn't already have knowledge of things that were in the news and everything. And I don't know how much of his past and his character was allowed to be admitted in court. And I say that because back in the early 90s, I sat on a jury for a rape case in Franklin County. And as a juror, we were not, the only thing we knew that was admitted in court was this particular case and the details of the case. We were not allowed to know that the person who was charged had three previous rape convictions. We didn't even know that. And so, you know, so with this whole, you know, George Floyd, I don't know how much about George Floyd's past the jurors knew or were allowed to know.
Well, I guess what dawned on me was, and I'm not saying that the I'm not trying to make a false equivalency here, but something that I have noticed in here in Marion, we have had this case involved with Judge Warner, who, again, a lot has been put into that, and he's been convicted as well, and as a matter of fact, sentenced, but yet he sits free today, and a lot of people keep arguing that this, you know, much like, maybe this is why it reminded me today when the judge was doing this, was when he said, you were in a position, George Warner, you're in a position different than the average citizen. You're in a position of trust, much like a police officer is, and you should have known better. And why this rings to me is, now here in Marion, the public opinion is send the judge to jail. A matter of fact, the people are outraged here that this was a judge, that this judge could leave this boy on the side of the road to die. How can you do that? But yet, we don't know anything about this boy. Now, I'm not saying I don't know anything about this boy, and I'm not saying anything, but if this boy was a bad kid, does that make it okay for the judge to drive away? Because that's the equivalency they're making in this. George Floyd was a bad guy, so the cop can do anything he wants.
And, you know, and I mean, I agree with you, Scott, and the other thing that I kind of look at, too, in both cases, Judge Warner and with Derek Chauvin, it's easy for us sitting on the sidelines to say, I can't believe the judge would do that. I would never do that. Well, in the heat of the moment, when things are happening, you got emotions flying, you got adrenaline flying, we like to think what we say, you know, we like to say what we think we would do, but we don't always know what exactly we would do in the situation with Judge Warner. In the situation with Derek Chauvin, you know, you're in a situation, you're arresting this guy, you get him in your cruiser, you take him out of the cruiser. I mean, we don't really know what we would have done. We only think we know what we would have done.
And that's exactly what I have felt the whole time, but it's just, it's interesting to me that these two cases, in one case, it's not seen that way, and in the other case, it is. In the Warner case, it's, no, he doesn't get a break. He knew what he was doing, and I wouldn't do that. In the Floyd case, it is, well, maybe I'd do that. You know, it's a very strange thing. A matter of fact, I haven't heard anybody, public or private, in Marion, now maybe I'm just in the wrong crowds, take up for this judge at all, ever. Now, maybe somebody has, but I haven't heard it.
Well, and I mean, I'm not, I live in Morrow County, and I'm not in Marion County and connected with a lot of the people that you are. But no, I haven't heard that either, and it's interesting.
It is. What's coming up on Sunday morning?
What's coming up on Sunday morning is we're back in our study of the Book of Ephesians, and we're gonna answer some Bible questions. I've had a couple people submit some Bible questions to me, and we're gonna answer them.
Sounds good. Thank you, Pastor, for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Here we are, 30 minutes past the hour. Well, it's an interesting thing, and again, that's Sunday morning, 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. on this station, Pastor Craig. What do you think?
About which?
Either one. I guess it all comes down to, if you're in higher authority, does it matter?
Well, I think... like, as far as, like, the judge goes or the police officer goes, I think maybe sometimes people do abuse those positions.
Well, it's...
So...
this is what it's going to be, though. 22.5 years, and I think the first time he's optioned for parole is 15 years. So, he's going to be behind bars until 2036.
How old is he? Do you know?
You know, I don't know. 40s, probably. So, that's that. That was the first big news of the day. And then the second big news of the day, not Donald Trump, that we know of, but this is a very big story. The Trump Organization, his lawyers, as I understand it, are confirming that the district office, law office in New York, next week is probably going to be handing down some indictments against the Trump Organization, probably indicting their chief financial officer and others, and possibly members of the Trump family. At this point, we don't know who's going to be indicted. The only one they're pretty sure that's going to be indicted because he's not cooperating is the chief financial officer. But the organization itself will be brought up on criminal charges. Now, this, to my knowledge, has never happened with a former president.
I'm really out of the loop today just because I didn't get to watch any news today. So, I didn't get to hear
any stories.
Well,
that just came up a couple hours ago, and it apparently has to do with the fact of some record-keeping they were doing in regard to... trying to avoid payroll taxes and things of that nature for big bucks over many, many years.
Well, that would not be a good thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think they'll probably plead not guilty, but it'll be interesting to see who gets indicted. Now, the organization will get indicted, but these are criminal charges. These are not civil charges. And this is an indictment.
Like, that would be prison.
Not always, but could. Could. Civil would tend to not be prison.
Oh, you said civil would not?
Right, but criminal could be.
Okay.
And that's what they're saying, criminal.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big political person, so I don't really pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Well, I just hope that's not seen as a political story. Because I don't see that as an election. I see that as was there a crime committed or was there not?
Yeah, but don't you think people will be like, the Trump people are being attacked?
Oh, sure. Because people like him. It's just like with the Chauvin thing. If you like the person, you tend to defend them no matter what they do. You know, that's nothing new. But I don't see this as a political story.
Oh, I would probably still see it as political, just because it's, like, has to do with Trump. I mean,
yeah, but
maybe not him specifically, but...
Well, like when Bill Clinton was accused of all that stuff. I mean, I didn't see that as political. I saw that as criminal. But he was found in the end not to have done those things.
Like, I don't know. I guess I don't know what you're talking about. I only know
perjury. Lie under oath.
Oh, about Monica Lewinsky. Yeah. Oh.
So there you go. But I don't know that any other president has really faced that. None that I can remember.
I wouldn't have a clue.
But I, you know, it'll be political because Trump was president, but I don't know what the political nature of it is. Now, people will say they're going after him because he was president, but what's the point of that? He's not president now.
Right, but, you know, that will ruin his chances to run in the 2024 election, right?
You think?
Probably.
I think much like the man said himself, when it comes to his supporters, he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and they would still follow him.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said. I think that's probably true.
Well, you probably are right.
Well, he said it. I didn't. That's one of his quotes.
I mean, I'd have to think twice about that, but...
Well, you know, his supporters are very fervent. They still have the flags up.
Oh, yeah. You see them every day.
And I still don't know what these people are doing over here on the corner at the Harding Memorial.
Oh, protesting? I have never seen them out protesting.
It's usually on the weekend, but I don't know what they're doing.
I guess I'm not in Marion on the weekends, like, in that area.
I keep my eyes everywhere. Let's talk about the local story that's getting all the attention, and that's the fireworks. That the Ohio Senate has passed a bill that on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Chinese New Year, Cinco de Mayo, Memorial Day weekend, July 4th, Labor Day weekend, and some Indian holiday in November, you will be allowed to shoot off fireworks without it being illegal if Governor DeWine chooses to sign this bill. Now, this got a lot of attention on the morning show this morning. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I know people buy them and shoot them off anyway. I don't know if you watch fireworks or not, but
I have seen fireworks in my life.
Right, I'm sure you have. But, like at the fair, I think the last couple of years I've been at the fair, there's always people close by to the fair that light off a bunch of fireworks. You can always see them. There's like two different sets of fireworks, like big fireworks that you can actually see. But, I mean, I think people do it anyway. So, I think they're just dangerous. I mean, I would never get fireworks and, because I wouldn't, I'd be afraid I'd burn myself up. But I just think they're dangerous.
But there are law-abiding people that don't do it because it is illegal.
Right.
But if it's legal, they're going to do it.
You think?
Well, if it's legal, why not?
But you don't think they would do it anyway?
No, see, I never understand that argument. Because, okay, and this is a big example, but, okay, if it's illegal to go into the grocery store and take a Butterfinger, you're probably not going to do it because somebody could arrest you. But if the store says, you can come in here and take a Butterfinger, no crime, you're probably going to do it.
Right.
So, when people say, well, only the criminals are going to do it if you make it illegal, well, yeah, that's what makes them criminals. I don't understand this.
Well, I would be afraid I'd get in trouble, so I don't want to get in trouble, so I wouldn't do it if it was illegal.
But if it's legal, would you do it?
I still probably wouldn't do it, because I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't think that would be safe.
Look at the mask thing. And that wasn't even a law. Prior to it being a mandate, very few people wore them. Then when it became a mandate, they wore them. And that's what's going to happen here, in my opinion. You're going to have a few people who are going to do it illegally anyway, but a lot more people who have always wanted to do it or try it, knowing that there's no consequence, are going to do this now. And then they're going to find out that the consequence is only having seven fingers.
I want all of my fingers.
I just think there is a reason that there are people who do this. Professionals.
Right, I agree. Oh my gosh, and it's so scary sometimes when those things blow up. Have you ever seen that?
Oh my gosh. Make them legal, though. That's just what you want on New Year's Eve. People out in the snow in Ohio lighting fireworks off.
Well, that way when they catch on fire, they can put themselves out.
And who has ever celebrated Chinese New Year around here? Or nobody even knows what this Indian holiday is in November.
Well, I mean, maybe the Chinese people that live around here, they can celebrate.
Are they lighting off fireworks?
Well, maybe they will now.
Cinco de Mayo. Is this a firework holiday?
Well, I thought it was a drinking holiday, but drinking and fireworks probably are not a good mix.
Won't that be good? Have a margarita and set your fireworks off. I thought the 4th of July was the only firework holiday. Silly me.
Right. It normally is. Except, you know, on New Year's, you go out and bang your pots and pans. That's kind of like...
Do you?
Yeah, fireworks.
Oh, I don't do that.
No?
No. Why would I bang my pots and pans?
That's what you're supposed to do on New Year's. Go outside and, like, bang your pots and pans together. Haven't you ever heard of people doing that?
Well, I probably called the police if somebody did that in my neighborhood. I was with you on New Year's Eve last year. You didn't bang any pots and pans together.
Well, I know, because I was in your neighborhood. I didn't want you calling the cops on me.
Well, yeah, if you would have grabbed a pot and pan and started banging it.
People do that, though.
What people?
All kinds of people. You've never heard of people doing that? I mean, yeah.
That's why you have to buy new pots and pans every year.
Maybe. I wish somebody would buy me some new pots and pans. Maybe I need to do that. Maybe I'll go out this New Year's and bang my pots and pans, and then I'll break them. And then, oh man, my pots broke. I need new ones.
And somebody's going to say, well, fireworks are legal now. Why didn't you just fire those off?
And then, oh, my birthday's coming up. I guess I might need new pots and pans for my birthday.
Do you bang your pots and pans together, or do you bang them on the ground?
Together.
Oh. Okay. Like a cast iron skillet?
Yeah. Or you get a spoon and then bang it on your pot.
What is this supposed to signify?
It's a celebration. New Year.
Oh. Isn't it cold outside?
Yes, but people shoot their guns off, too.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
You have heard that, right?
Oh, yeah, I know people shoot their guns off, but what is that about?
They're celebrating.
Is that how we celebrate shoot our guns off?
I'm sure some people do.
Well, earlier on, I found out today one of the top five answers, things people keep in their closet for special occasions, is a shotgun. Well, it's time for prom. Get the shotgun out. I don't understand it. Who knows? Does anybody understand this whole firework thing? We had a lot of conversation about it earlier. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or have you ever banged your pots and pans together?
Yes, somebody has to call and tell Scott that you have done this before. Like, I'm not just making it up.
I just don't see the banging of the pots and pans. You know, this is the first Friday show we've done in summer.
Well,
it's summer now.
It does not feel like summer at all.
No, but we are officially in the summer season. I might type a letter.
It's a little too cold for my liking.
Dear Governor DeWine, you should... Does anybody mind that I do this during the show? Should... Take a look at letting people, fire off, fire works in this new bill.
And yes, people, he is a pecker. He is pecking the keys with his finger.
Signed, Scott Spears. Ooh. W. Oh, I gotta send the thing back. Oh, how do you send the thing back?
No, don't break it.
I'm not gonna break. Oh no, your mom just had a heart attack while listening to this. That I'm gonna break the. Oh, there it goes. There we go. It's all very interesting, don't you think? What's wrong with being a pecker?
Nothing.
You never picked?
No.
Don't you like the sound of a typewriter? I think the sound of a typewriter is very soothing in a lot of ways.
Hmm.
I'm writing a little side note here to the governor. I'm a fast typer.
Very fast. Fast pecker.
Is that pecking still?
Yes.
Oh, there we go. There we go. All right. Well, we'll send that out later on if you have an envelope. You have an envelope?
No. I don't. I had to mail something out today, and I went to the little post office uptown. Did you know there's a post office uptown?
Yes, I did. I used to know the lady who ran that.
And I can't remember. I was going to remember how much she charged me for one stamp. And I think it was $50. Maybe 53 cents?
53 cents.
Or no, 55 cents. It was what? It was either 55 or 57 cents. I can't remember because I had taken in... Because I thought stamps were only like 51, 52 cents. So I took... I made sure I had 2 quarters and 2 pennies, but I took a whole dollar in quarters just in case because I really didn't know. And then I said, I got to remember how much she charged me, and then I forgot.
I was messing with the typewriter there. I missed that whole thing. I was trying to figure out... Oh, there we go. How interesting. Typewriters to me are fascinating. What do you think of typewriters?
They're great. Except when you have to erase something.
That's true. All right, what else is there to talk about? Hey, we found Dirty Dancing last week.
Oh, yeah, we did. Where did we find that? At Goodwill, I think
it was Goodwill. That's where it all ends up.
Right.
All the copies of Dirty Dancing are at Goodwill.
We ran out of time and we didn't get to watch it, though.
Yeah, that was a shame.
Yeah, maybe next week you can give a report.
Oh, you plan on watching that this week?
Well, I don't know.
See, I'm just not sold on this
movie. I don't have any plans for this weekend.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know about that movie. I bought other movies that day.
What else did you get?
I bought Patch Adams, because I interviewed him. And I bought Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I think that's a good movie. I bought My Fellow Americans, which is a James Garner and Jack Lemmon, very good movie. And I bought, there was one more, but I can't remember what it was. So I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to watch movies, but not really Dirty Dancing, because I still think that probably is an awful, awful movie, to be honest with you.
It really isn't. In the, you know what, the music in the movie really makes the movie. I think that's what really does it.
You think that
the music.
The music in the movie.
Yes.
I don't know. It just doesn't sound entertaining to me.
It's going to be better than you think.
Better than Notting Hill?
Yes.
Oh, no. What do you got against Notting Hill?
I don't have anything against it. I mean, it was okay. It was a long movie.
Is Dirty Dancing a short movie? Well, I hope.
It's probably.
A very, very, very short movie.
It's probably only like, what, an hour and a half?
I don't know. I haven't really ever seen the movie.
Yeah, I don't think it's long.
I can't imagine really anybody has seen the movie, to be honest with you.
I think a lot of people have seen it.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
You think people have seen this movie?
Oh, yeah.
I'm messing with the knobs right now.
I see that. That makes me nervous when you mess with the knobs.
Well, no, it's
like,
just
we worked
somebody
so hard
was.
To get everything the right way.
But it still drives me nuts that we have to operate a different way here, and I'm not sure if it's the size of the room or what it is that causes that problem. It's a weird, weird thing if you ask me. There, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I think that sounds pretty good. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you got anything to say, we'd love to hear from you. Who Framed Roger Rabbit's a great movie. Have you seen that one?
Probably not.
Oh, good movie.
I mean, that was out when we were kids.
Right, I went to see that in the movie theater.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, that was a very popular movie. It was the first movie where you had live-action people and cartoons in the same movie.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the first movie I ever seen in the movie theater. It was probably, like, Titanic.
I saw Titanic. That movie doesn't do anything
for me.
Did
you see it in the movie theater?
I did.
I think everybody did.
Who'd you go with?
Who did I go with? Maybe my aunt? My Aunt Patty, maybe? I can't remember. I know she took us to the movies.
I wouldn't go with any of my aunts.
No?
I wouldn't go to the end of the street with any of them.
Well, we used to go to a lot of places with my aunt.
My aunts? No.
I don't have any aunts, but I just have an aunt.
You do have aunts.
No, I have an aunt. Aunt Patty.
No, aunts are those things that get on dishes.
I have lots of those at home also.
Yeah. But your aunt is your mother or father's sisters or brothers?
No, I'm
your brothers
and
their aunts?
I'm pretty sure I just have an Aunt Patty. I have an Aunt Patty, and then I had an Aunt Patsy, but she passed.
You know, that word's interesting, passed. Now, why do we say that?
Well,
are we afraid to say died?
Maybe died just doesn't sound as nice.
I like to say, I really like to say when certain people die. They're dead. All right, let's see if this is somebody's aunt. Go ahead, caller.
So, Scott, that really cool typewriter there in the studio, does it save things to the cloud or to a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk? How does that thing function? Because I don't think anybody under 70 would even understand what it is.
Oh, no, it's
I knew what it was.
It's connected to the cloud.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, like, when you type the letter to Mikey Baby, will it just, go to his email box, or how does that work?
Well, it goes to the cloud.
Google Drive.
He has to check the cloud, but I would never say Mikey Baby.
Okay. He's been around Ohio so long, and remember when President Harding was there, you called him Warren, so I didn't know.
Well, no, I would call him
Warren,
Mike.
You can call the governor Mikey Baby.
I'd call him Mike. I don't know about Mikey Baby. Do you call him Mikey Baby? He's been on before.
I don't call him anything. I wouldn't know that I want to talk to him, because I really don't like him. I thought he was a good attorney general. I just don't like really anything he's done as governor. I don't want to talk about the fireworks thing, but it's kind of silly. I mean, just doesn't it? Someone's going to complain that a certain holiday is on there or is not on there. Now, that's the problem when you have these designated days.
Are you still there?
That's about. Yeah, I'm right here. Yes, right here.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's all I had to say. But so I can. In general, I think he was a good attorney general, but I know it's been a difficult governorship, but I'm not really a fan.
Well, I don't know what'll happen. It's going to be an interesting year. I'm thinking about running for governor myself.
Yeah, well, that would be good. I mean, you wouldn't need a press secretary. You'd be your own press secretary, right?
Right, but I see this field as being open because I think there's the Republicans have got their problems because you've got Governor DeWine, who people are angry at over this pandemic, and then you got Renacci over there, who, certain people don't like him, and then you've got Nan Whaley over there, and certain people don't like her on the Democratic side, so I think I could slip right in there and become governor.
Blystone's the dark horse. You never quite know.
Blystone, I think, and you know, I don't deny anybody to run for office, but I think he's got about as much chance of winning as the team that played the Harlem Globetrotters all the time.
Yeah, I'm not saying he'd win. He's an interesting dark horse.
Which is nobody's support. He's got no money.
It's a very well-followed election. I think Ohio will be in the forefront. There's really no clear cut.
Well, I think, honestly, my political analysis on this would be, is what's going to happen is if Renacci, if he does continue on doing what he's doing and attacking DeWine, it's really not going to matter if it's he or DeWine on the Republican side. Nan Whaley is going to be the next governor, unless somebody appears on the Democratic side, because the Republicans are fighting amongst themselves, and there's going to be a lot of bad blood there. But we've never had a female governor, so that could work against her. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of mess when it comes to governor right now. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. Give us a buzz if you have any thoughts. This governor's race is interesting. I've interviewed them all, so I feel I have a stake in this whole thing. Go ahead, caller. Are you there, caller? I think that's Adam again, and I think we're having trouble. I think Adam's maybe on a phone as old as this typewriter. I don't know. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have anything to say. But that's what I think's going on politically. I think Renacci is really attacking DeWine. They're both in the same party. DeWine is a sitting governor. It's going to be a problem. And I would like to talk to this Blystone. He's the only one I haven't talked to. Where's he at?
Have you tried to get him to come on?
I have. I've had them all. I've had DeWine. I've had Nan Whaley. I've had Renacci. I've had them all. So come on, Blystone.
So what party is he then?
He's Republican too. His problem is going to be is he's really got no constituency, unfortunately. Which I feel bad that politics has turned into money like this, which is what's going to force him out. But DeWine clearly's got a lot of money here, and Renacci's got a lot of money. He's a millionaire many times over. So it's going to be tough.
So, do you think they randomly drew these Vax-a-Million names? I don't think they did.
Well, it's over.
I don't think they randomly drew them. I think they picked them.
I know it's over, and I know it did not do the governor any good, because the vaccination numbers did not go up a whole lot. I didn't win $1 million.
Me neither.
In any event, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you tonight if you have an opinion on anything from should fireworks be made legal? What do you think of the Derek Chauvin verdict? What do you think of the Trump Organization possibly being charged next week with criminal charges? And the governor's race here in Ohio, or the end of Vax-a-Million?
I just wish that would have been done a little different.
What do you think if I get in there for governor? I wouldn't run with any party because I don't need that. You know, I don't want to be dealing with the parties. Forget that. I just would run. I got till December because December is, I think, the filing deadline.
I don't think it would work.
You don't think I... What?
I don't think it would work because you would have to tell people what you want and how you feel about things.
Right.
And you don't like to do that. Like, you don't like to give your opinion. But if you were running in that position, you would have to.
Well, you mean like on big issues?
Right.
Oh, but see, this is... I think you would want a governor who has no opinion.
But how are you going to get votes? How are you going to get people on your side?
I'm going to get an entertaining lieutenant governor.
So he can tell everybody how he feels?
Well, I just think if I have an entertaining person in there with me, we'll be good.
Like who?
Oh, I could. You know, I have friends around here.
Hmm.
Yeah. I have about 4 or 5 people on my list.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think they'd run with me.
Yeah. I would not be on that list because you can... Nope.
You would not vote for me. You would not check my name if it was on the governor's ballot.
I would vote for you.
I'd win Marion County, I bet.
Probably.
Yeah. Then all I gotta do is...
Oh, can you imagine these things that a certain person would say?
Oh, the tabloids would be out. I'd love it. I'd love it. I crave that attention. I love it. Go ahead, caller.
I'm not sure if the phone's working. Can you hear me okay, Scott?
I can hear you now.
Okay, now I'll answer the Lieutenant Governor question. How about your buddy Gallagher? You want somebody entertaining?
Oh, I could get Gallagher, sure. He's a native Ohioan.
I mean, you know, he could crush a watermelon during the debate, and that'll kind of scare people into voting. So that might be good.
I could go down and get the Buckeye guy. You know, boy, wouldn't that be entertaining.
Yeah, Buckeye guy he's controversial. Gallagher's better, you know, and he's just offensive enough that people are going to love him. Sometimes you enjoy a little bit of offensive. But the offensive can actually be good.
But Buckeye guy, everything is unbelievable. I like that. Can you imagine him at the debate? You'd have people up there arguing, what do you think about taxes? I think this, I think that, raise them, lower them, raise them, lower. What do you think, Buckeye guy? Unbelievable. And that's all he'd say. I'd love it.
Well, I think Gallagher could just take a watermelon and just smash it. See, that's what I'm going to do to your taxes. I'm going to smash them and lower them.
But Gallagher likes to fight. I mean, when he was on my show, God love him, he picked a fight with Buckeye guy.
Well, there's a debate for you. I mean, a debate. I mean, look at Trump and Biden. Will you shut up, man? Look at that stuff. I mean, that would be small potatoes compared to what Gallagher might do, and it would certainly be entertaining.
Yeah, but Gallagher might walk off because he walked out of that debate, and I can't have that as a lieutenant governor. I gotta have somebody who's going to be there for the long haul.
Well, but don't look at me. My opinions just go in so many directions.
Well, I'm not going to give any opinions.
Would be entertaining, though.
That's what I'm running as. I'm running for governor. I have zero opinions. Nothing.
What about, because Scott Churchill was a lieutenant governor for one of the primary people. Why let him come back? He'd be a good lieutenant governor.
Well, sure. If he wants to jump on the bandwagon, I'd allow him on. Sure, why not?
Two Marion people. I mean,
Well, how about this? What if I asked Mary Ellen?
I'd be all for that. I'm not sure she really wants, you know, at age 90, she wants to...
No, but I'll say to her, I'll say, listen, Mary Ellen, I'll do all the campaigning. All you have to do is do the job, because I know you can do the job. You're
well,
sharp
she can
as
do
a cat.
I think she should be the Secretary of the Treasury, but I think she's retired. She just doesn't want to be in office anymore.
Oh, but anybody can come out of retirement.
Yeah, well, I mean, how many times did Michael Jordan come out of retirement?
But, you know, I would ask Mary Ellen. I'd bring her. So she's on there. I got Buckeye Guy. I got Mary Ellen. I've got, who else could I bring on this thing?
Could I be Secretary of Sarcasm? I'd be good for that.
Well, I'm going to give you a desk and a typewriter. That's what you'll get.
Can I use that really cool Smith Corona?
Smith Corona. No, but I'll get those two, and then I'll bring in, Dennis Kucinich, you know, I know him fairly well. He'll be mayor of Cleveland, then we'll be working together.
There's a question for you, Scott. If Smith Corona were still making typewriters, would they want to change their name? Because that name might set off an alarm.
We do have a Corona here in the studio. I didn't realize this.
Yeah. I wonder if the Smith Corona, if we might want to change that name. People might get the wrong impression.
I want everybody in the audience, we got to go to break here, but I want everybody to keep thinking, who should be my lieutenant governor? Should I, if I maybe run for governor in 2022? Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.